The Lord be with you. So, where's home for you? We often ask that question when we meet someone new, or we have to answer it. Do you find that to be an easy question or a hard question? At least for me, I find it difficult to answer. My family moved around when I was growing up, so I've had different homes along the way. But moving, while it can be difficult, has taught me how important home truly is. In high school, my family was in a small town in Iowa. And it's a sort of town where the edge of town is not just an idea or a saying. It's real, right? You can stand there looking back into town or out into the fields. And now, you know, when people hear, oh, you're from a small town in Iowa, they say, oh, that sounds nice. But really, you know what they're thinking. They're thinking, who would want to live there? Like, there's nothing to do. It smells like manure. What? Why would you want to be from there? But living in Iowa taught me one thing, at least. Never make fun of someone's home. Because home matters. Home shapes us deeply. Home gives us our identity. Home tells us who we are. Never make fun of someone's home. For some here this morning, home is a place of happy memories. For others, home is a place of painful memories, of brokenness, of loss. Some of our new American sisters and brothers here this morning that worship in the Basic English Service know that home is not an easy subject. And instead of me saying something about that, I'd like to invite Prasad and Zara, if you would join me up here. And I'd like for us to hear from them a bit about what home means. Where is home to them? And Prasad, Zara asked if I would ask you first, so I'm sorry. So, Prasad, where is home for you?
Well, the word home could be defined in many ways, but for me, I think the home is a place where we live in family together, and a place where we return back, no matter wherever we go. Similar way, church is the home, like we are here at the family. So, and we live together here, and no matter where we go, and we'll return back to here. So, I mean, that's how I define home.
How about you, Zara? Where's home for you?
Yeah. Actually, first, hi, everybody. And then I think home is everywhere for me, actually. And if I continue to say why, after I become Christian, the meaning of lots of things changed for me. Maybe before that, home was the address I was living there. But after that, we all know that we need safety and peace in some place to call it home. And I found my safety and peace in Jesus. So I think as long as Jesus is with me and I'm with Jesus, it's no matter where I go, where I live, which country, which place, that's everywhere's home, mm-hmm. My home.
Thank you. Thank you. If you don't know Prasad and Zara, get to know them. They are amazing Christians. Taught me a lot. So, where's home? It can be a tough question for some of us. For Zara, it was in Iran. Now it's here in Grand Rapids. For Prasad, Nepal. Now here in Grand Rapids. Even if home is a complex subject, home matters to each of us, and it shapes us. Home gets deep in our bones. And we all long to be home, don't we? To be home in the best sense of the word, to be home without pain and loss. For Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden was home. And their home was deep in their bones, too. They were made from it, right? Adam was made from the dust of the ground. And Adam and Eve loved their home. Their home was paradise. God called their home very good. But home became a place of painful memories for Adam and Eve. They sinned against God, and God drove them out of the garden. Genesis 3:24 says, "The Lord God drove Adam and Eve out and then placed angels on the east side of the Garden of Eden. God also placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth. The angels and the sword guarded the way to the tree of life." Home was paradise, but now paradise is lost. And there's no going back home for Adam and Eve. And some in the sanctuary know what it's like to be driven from their home because of sin and brokenness. To know they may never return. To have to leave home because of a corrupt government, because of political oppression, because of violence, because of ethnic conflict. To leave home and know you may never return. Home becomes a memory that we carry with us. Now, for some of us, home is pretty easy. Where's home is an easy question to answer. Maybe you were born and raised and still live in the same town. But I want to suggest that regardless of how easy or difficult that question is, home is still fleeting. Home is still fragile for all of us. Whether you're a lifelong Grand Rapidian or whether you've just moved here, home is fragile. Right? And we all must move at some point, most of us, right, for school or for work. Some of us eventually to Raybrook or to Porter Hills. Home is fleeting and fragile. We can't hold on to home in this life in the way we long to. In Peter's first letter, he writes this: "Dear friends, you are outsiders and strangers in this world." The Bible teaches us again and again as Christians that we are a people on a journey. We are a pilgrim people, like Abraham, who had to leave his country of Ur to go to the place God would show him, like the Hebrew people who fled Egypt to the promised land God would show them, a land flowing with milk and honey. We're like the disciples that Jesus called. They had to leave their families and their homes behind to follow Jesus. We're a people on a journey. In his book, Searching for Home, Craig Barnes writes this: "There is no way to find home without leaving home. There's no way to find home without leaving home." St. Augustine, who's a Christian who lived about 350 years after Jesus, said this: "O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Restless hearts. I'm guessing you know the feeling. Like your life is good. Life at home is good, your family, your relationships are good, work is good, and you should be content. But you're not. Do you know that feeling? I know that feeling. Our hearts are restless. And I think our hearts are restless because we know we're just not quite at home. We're never quite at home, as much as we long to be. And our restless hearts remind us we are people on a journey. We're a pilgrim people. So whether you've lived in Grand Rapids for 6 weeks or 60 years, you're a pilgrim. You're on a journey. And all of us live away from home. We are outside of paradise. We live east of Eden. That's true for all of us. And we know there's no going back. Craig Barnes writes again, If there is hope of finding a home, it can't mean returning to Eden. The hope bids us to keep moving ahead. We can't go back. We have to keep moving ahead. One of my favorite letters from the early church, not including the New Testament letters, is called the Letter to Diognetus. You can see it up there. And this was written in the second century, and it explains a bit about who these Christians are, these odd believers living in the Roman Empire. And the author says this to Diognetus: "There is something extraordinary about Christians. They live in their own countries as though they were only passing through. They play their full role as citizens, but labor under all the disabilities of aliens. Any country can be their homeland, but for them, their homeland, wherever it may be, is a foreign country. They pass their days upon earth, but they are citizens of heaven." I think that's good news for those of us who have a hard time answering where's home. I think that's good news for those who are trying to make a home here in Grand Rapids. And I think it's a good reminder to those of us who feel really settled and feel really at home. I think this letter also reminds us that we have to invest in our home. It's good that we love our home. We have to live in it as citizens, as the letter says. But we also can't make this home an idol, right? We can't live in a home barring others from entering. We can't live in a city without openness to the foreigner and the stranger, because guess what? You're a foreigner and you're a stranger in this world. That's our story as Christians. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Let's get back to Genesis 3. Maybe you think the Lord was just too hard on Adam and Eve to force them to leave home without ever returning. But verse 21 says this: "The Lord God made clothes out of animal skins for Adam and his wife to wear." So even in this judgment, God's last act in the garden is gift and grace to clothe Adam and Eve. God doesn't drive them out naked, but covers them and clothes them. Now in Scripture, to be clothed really means to be given life. That's what God does. He clothes us with life. This is good news. God does not leave us naked on the journey outside the garden. God comes to clothe us. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." God comes to clothe us and give us life. Paul says this in Galatians: "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." We could not be at home with God, so God came to be at home with us. This is good news, friends. John says in his gospel, "The Word of God became a human being, and he made his home with us." God comes to be at home with us. In Jesus, God left paradise, and he went out east of Eden, where we are, to be with us, to enter our brokenness, our homelessness, our restlessness, to walk with us on this journey, searching for home. We're going to sing an African-American spiritual during communion, and it says this: "All along my pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me." And Jesus does. And that is good news. Friends, we live between Genesis 3 and Revelation 21, the two passages we heard. We live between our first home and our final home. This is the journey we're on. And this journey is hard, isn't it? It is hard. But remember, when it's hard, Jesus walks with you. Jesus walks with you whether you've lived in Grand Rapids your whole life. Whether you feel at home, Jesus still walks with you. Or whether you feel far from home, whether your home is on the other side of the world, Jesus is walking with you. But our pilgrim journey in this life is not a return to the Garden of Eden. We can't go back to our first home. The way has been barred. Because of our sin, we had to leave. So if we can't go back to our first home, where is home? Where are we going? When I was 10 years old, my parents sent me to a week of summer camp. My dad's here this morning. I love you, Dad. They sent me to summer camp for a week. I wasn't happy then, but they loved me. And went to Camp Johnsonburg in New Jersey, Presbyterian camp. And the first night, I will never forget, I'm laying in my bunk bed, and I begin to feel this homesickness just welling up inside. And I begin to cry so hard. And I go to the counselor in our cabin, and I say, please let me call home. I miss home. I miss home. Please let me call home. Please, please. And this counselor, God bless him, he said something I'll never forget. He comforted me, and he said, Andrew, do you know why you miss home so much? Because you're loved so much. Because you're loved. It wasn't that I missed sharing a room with my sister in our small apartment. That's not what I missed about home. What I missed was my mom and dad who loved me. That's home. What made the Garden of Eden home for Adam and Eve was not the beauty, was not the animals. It was that God walked with them. That is what made it home for Adam and Eve. The God who made them and loved them was with them. That was home. And the God who loved and made Adam and Eve and who came to live with us in the person of Jesus will come again to live with us, will bring a new home for us, a new and permanent home. The Lord says this through the prophet Isaiah, I'm about to do something new. It is beginning to happen even now. Do you see it? Do you see it? St. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, saw it. He said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. It was coming down out of heaven from God. It was coming down out of heaven from God. We don't go to our new home, friends. Our new home comes to us. This is what God did in Jesus Christ. God comes to make his home with us. The only way for us to be at home with God is for God to come and be at home with us. God wants to live with us because God loves us. God loves you and God wants to live with you today and for eternity. This is what God does if we read Scripture. In the Garden of Eden, when God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, God wanted to make his home with us. And in the wilderness, when a cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of God filled the tabernacle, we see that God wants to live with us. In Jerusalem, when Isaiah had a vision, he saw the Lord seated on the throne and the hem of his robe filled the temple. We see that God wants to live with us. And you know where we see it most clearly? In Bethlehem. When a young woman named Mary gives birth to a son, Jesus, we see God wants to live with us. In Jesus, God and humanity come together. Heaven and earth come together. And we call this incarnation. Incarnation. And the vision of Revelation 21 that we heard is the permanent incarnation of God in his new creation. Verse 3 says, now God makes his home with people. God will live with them. They will be God's people, and God will be with them and be their God. And John writes, and there will be no more sea, which means there will be no more chaos and no more sin. There will be no more crying or sickness or death or pain, for the old way will be gone. And the gates to this heavenly city will never be shut, and the fruit of the tree of life will never be out of our reach, for God will be with us. And in that holy city, friends, all the homesickness you feel, all the restlessness in your heart, all the pain of having to say goodbye to loved ones living on the other side of the world, all of that will be put to rest, and all will be well, and everything will be well. This is good news, because God will finally and forever make his home with all of us. Amen? Amen. Amen.